to play against the Clippers and the Hawks Monday and Tuesday. Warriors already down Draymond Green, and just kind of the initial thought, everything we thought this season might be, and we were starting to talk about it becoming,
right?
Is it already off the table in many ways? Because here come the injuries.
I think some of the stuff is off the table for sure. I'll say this, JD. It feels like it has been 3 or 4 years like this, where guy gets hurt. When's he coming back? They should be careful. If he needs one or two games off, give him 3 or 4. It just feels like we've kind of been playing that game. Oh, well, if we hold him out through Monday, he'll miss 2 games, but we could actually hold him out a week longer and it would only be 1 extra game. All those kind of things that you try to figure out. The big picture, I think you're right on the money. Let's be honest. Before they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks, they're 10-1, and you're starting to think, what do we got here? Do we got another run at 70? Do we got another
Curry
magical
MVP?
Curry MVP year? Draymond?
Yeah, defensive player of the year for Draymond Green.
Right.
I mean, could they go 41-0? I mean, that was my wild prediction at Oracle Arena this season. That's off the table. All of these things suddenly may be off the table,
right,
just because a couple of guys are going to have to miss a couple of games.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Curry, whether you admit it or not, if he's out 2 weeks, what's that, 6, 7 games? Now you start getting into how many games does an MVP have to play? And then you start thinking, why are we even talking about the MVP after 12 games? But the reason we have been is because Curry's been so great. I mean, Curry started this season, JD, like his unanimous MVP season, only better, really. And so, yes, there was talk about him becoming an MVP again, being the best player in the league. It sounds to me like what you're getting at is some things that may have been tangible goals won't be there anymore. Now, the Warriors will say, well, we never thought about them anyway. But what I'm getting at is, you know, if you're the Warriors and you start out 28-0 at home, you're going to start thinking about 41-0.
Especially in the final year at Oracle in Oakland. That's,
you know what? I didn't even factor that in.
Because that was actually
the reason
I brought it up was,
sure,
if this had been a random, you know, if they had 4 more years at Oracle, or if this was their third year in San Francisco, I wouldn't have even brought it up. The reason I brought up the 41-0 is kind of the wild prediction, and my statement on it was, I think it's going to get to a point where it starts to be talked about, but the whole thought process behind it was because it would be something special that would be kind of Oakland's own in a going away present.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. I wasn't thinking of it that way. Simply, they're playing darn good ball. And the one thing, you know, whenever a coach or a GM uses phrases like, we need to grow together. I remember Gary St. Jean always was made fun for internal development of players. But, you know, after you get done snickering, there's something to it. The Golden State, you think about the Warriors 10 games into where Kevin Durant's first year and now where they are. And it is like this team right now, or this team through the first 12 games, JD, you could tell they've been playing together now for 3 years. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
They
had it on cruise control.
But it was cruise control in,
at a high level.
Yes,
without
low
control
intensity.
Like they were going through the motions. Cruise control.
Like a machine.
Yes.
Like a machine.
Like the Spurs.
Right. No doubt.
Like the Spurs.
Right. And that's probably going to go away for a little while now. So,
Here's my question.
Yeah.
What now? What become the goals now? What do you want to see now? What do you look for now? How do we evaluate this team now? Because, again, the questions that we were starting to ask, they go on hold. 70 wins, MVP for Curry, you know, what's Durant going to do? All these things, they go on hold for now. And new questions, I think, pop in while certain guys are out. So what are those things?
Well, to me, it always gets back to the same old thing. Looking at this team when it has its core four, and then looking at this team when it's missing pieces of its core four, and figuring out how valuable each player actually is to the total equation. And so, for example, Saturday, it was another reminder that they need Draymond Green. And we're going to get into a lot of Draymond Green. They need him on the offensive end, too. But you find out what you are with Draymond Green. Draymond eventually will come back. So next week, next week's games, all right, what are we going to be like without Curry? What's that going to look like? Is it going to look worse than we think? Is it going to look better than we think? And that's the way I would proceed. And if the wins start piling up, they start piling up. And then you start looking at numbers, maybe, you know, if they're 23-4 or something like that, maybe start talking again. But I do think the Curry injury does stall things. There's no doubt. Because
he makes them go. And honestly, you could make the case that Curry and Draymond, in their own way, those are the two guys that make the Warriors go. They may not be the two most important. They may not be the two best players. But in terms of the way the Warriors play, the style of play, the show element to the way the Warriors play, it's Curry and Draymond 1 and 2. And Durant and Clay kind of fall in line around that.
Exactly. And we were talking before the show about Curry. We always talk about, well, is Curry or Durant? Durant or Curry? Where does Clay fit in? All this stuff. And the bottom line is this. And this has nothing to do with winning or losing, although obviously you're going to have a better chance to win with Curry. Warriors aren't as fun without him. They're just not. They're great. They're still going to be great. They're still going to win a ton of games. They ain't as fun. When Steph Curry is not on the court, the magic is not at the fingertips like you think it always is. And then you parlay Curry's magic with Draymond's emotion, and now you have something. You know, it'd be one thing if it was Curry, but it's Curry and Draymond brings that emotion and passion to it all. Then it's the best show in sports. And without Curry, it can't be the best show in sports.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors this week. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz here on 95.7 The Game. We do have a great show for you as we are with you until 1 o'clock. Tim Bontemps, NBA writer for ESPN now, will join us coming up at 11:30. He was in Salt Lake City last night for the Celtics and the Utah Jazz as Gordon Hayward returned to Utah. And there's nothing like an edgy Salt Lake crowd. There really isn't. There's an edgy Oracle crowd, which those have kind of gone away, I think, with the Warriors' success. Right. That had its own feel and vibe to it. But, man, there is something about an edgy, into it, late game Salt Lake City crowd, and you saw that last night.
Similar in any way to Oklahoma City?
Yeah, similar but different.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah,
no, I think the Jazz have one of the biggest home court advantages. It's a great arena. The fans are right on top of you, and I didn't think we'd be talking about the Jazz home court advantage in the first segment, but there you go.
We're just teasing Tim Bontemps. So Gordon Hayward, one of the big NBA topics, is Hayward going back to Salt Lake City.
Sure.
We've got Tim Roy will join us, the voice of the Warriors. He's coming up at 12:30. Always good to get Tim's perspective on everything that's going on with this team. We will bounce around the league as the standings are. Yeah, upside down is probably a little bit too strong. Although I look at the Western Conference standings, Matt, and I know we'll get into this. You got the Warriors on top at 10-2, and you've got, I'm counting, 1, 2, 3, 4 teams that I believe are playoff teams currently are not in the top 8. There may be a fifth, although I don't think I'm counting that team as a lock anymore, based on the way they've played in the last 5 games.
I see what you're talking about.
But I think there's a lot of teams that have an opportunity to make the playoffs this season in the Western Conference.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. I mean, I'm with you.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, specifically looking at some of these teams. I can't wait to kind of dive in.
Yeah, I mean, it's not totally upside down, but you got a couple of surprise teams, and you've got a couple of teams that are still trying to figure it out. But as much as they're not playing to their level, they're not by any means out of the race.
No.
As far as being able to make a move, and we've already seen one team make a move in the Western Conference. Oklahoma City was 0-4, and now they're 7-4. So, you know, things can change fast in the NBA. It still is a very long season. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. What are you looking for now if Stephen Curry has to miss some time? Draymond Green out tonight as well. We'll get it moving here. Warriors this week with J.D. and Steiny on 95.7 The Game.
MRI looked good in terms of not being too serious, but he's not going to play tomorrow. It's kind of something that we're going to evaluate over the next few days. He's still sore, but it's a strained groin is the injury. But the MRI was encouraging, and so it'll be kind of a day-to-day thing. Obviously, we won't do anything crazy. He's going to be out until he's healthy and ready to go.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Steve Kerr yesterday at Warriors practice with the latest at that point on Stephen Curry, who will not play tonight, a mild to moderate left groin strain sustained in the game Thursday night against the Milwaukee Bucks. It's Warriors This Week. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Listening to Steve Kerr there, Steiny. Sounds like Curry's not playing tonight, Monday, and Tuesday, although the Warriors, both in the statement and Kerr's statement, stop short of that.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to play after that too soon either. This to me, has all the makings of a couple weeks. And again, this feels like deja vu. We've done this so frequently over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. And there's a pattern to these things. And the pattern is, the Warriors are going to take longer than you think they should take. And they're right to do this. And I think that's what's going to happen. If I always like to use if tonight were a playoff game, I think he'd probably play. Now, I think he'd probably be noticeably hampered. But I think it depends on what playoff game. If this is game two, you're right. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right about that.
Because the Warriors have played that game in recent years.
That's true.
Even though they may deny that they have specifically.
And ditto with Draymond. I think Draymond probably would have fought through these two games if they were in the postseason and needed him. So when I think of it that way, I'm never worried. If you think of it that way, you're always more reassured. That it's not serious. They're just choosing to play it that way. And of course they are. It makes sense.
888-957-9570. That's where Rob in San Bruno checks in here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Rob, you're on with J.D. and Steiny. What's up?
Good morning, fellas.
How are you, man?
All right. It seemed like over the last year, we talk about the same thing, and the same thing ended up happening. Curry gets hurt. Klay Thompson's numbers goes up. Kevin Durant's numbers goes up. So at the end of the day, you still got them two guys who can get you 120 in a game by themselves, possibly. So, it's not like it's the end of the world. They're going to be fine. They're going to win. It's just down curve. Has to change the way he plays. You got no Draymond. You don't have the bigs who can play that style. So now you need to play more downhill. You know what I mean?
So who do you want to see more of?
I just want a lot of athletes to be athletes. I don't want the 7-footer with he can jump high. I don't want him passing the ball on the perimeter. That's not his game. He's not Draymond. So I want to see him crash in the glass. I want to see him just in the paint getting rebounds.
Gotcha.
Same with Bill. Let them be athletes. And because you got to play a different style anyway, it's going to be more from the post with Kevin Durant and shooting from Klay. And he can play in the mirror. It's going to be more of a mirror range game now. So your big got to be able to play down here and just use your athleticism. That's what I want to see Curry do until Draymond get back and Curry get back. And I think this is something for the coaching staff now. They have to figure out, okay, we got to play a different style. So how can we adjust?
All right, thanks. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate the phone call there. It's not quite as simple as that, but I do think it's more isolation of Kevin Durant. I mean, that is the one thing that jumps out is, okay, because right. Durant is one of the few guys in the league. See, we get into this all the time with the Warriors, right? A guy goes down and, you know, Curry, let's just use Curry as an example because he's going to be out tonight. Curry goes out tonight and immediately the fanboys come at, well, Quinn Cook.
Right.
It's his opportunity to step up. You know, Draymond Green's out. this is the night Jordan Bell has to step up
right.
and be the guy
right.
and be the best of his
right.
best.
Right.
Well, it doesn't work that way.
No.
It's not, and that doesn't mean Quinn Cook isn't going to have good games, because Quinn Cook probably will have some good games. He might have one tonight where he scores
right.
18 or 20
right.
points. My point with it, though, is the fact that Kevin Durant is one of the few guys where you can say, okay, Kevin Durant's got to go score more. And
exactly.
he can do it.
Exactly.
Role players can't do it on command like that, because they are used to being in a certain role. Telling them to go out of their comfort zone, you can't do that.
No, especially if it's scoring. So let's say Curry doesn't play tonight, so there's 30 points out the, you know, how are you going to make up those 30 points? Well, it's not, I think what you mean, JD, is it's not like, well, Quinn Cook needs to get 30 tonight. No. Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, but I think
Durant's
going to
have 36.
Yeah.
Clay will have 33. And Quinn Cook will have 15. And the Warriors will win by 25. And that's the way, you know, Durant's, well, I got more shots because Curry wasn't here. And Clay said, you know, Clay will say, and I had to step it up a little without Steph. Quinn Cook's not going to say, well, I was filling in for Steph Curry, so I needed 30 tonight. You're right. It doesn't work that way. What you need is the person to come. And see, and this is where I don't like the word system, but the Warriors do have a system. They really do. And if Draymond Green's not playing, they've got guys who come into Draymond Green's role, essentially. And they do a job very similar to Draymond Green, not as dynamically, clearly. And the Warriors have those kind of pieces. You know what? How about this for a crazy idea? I wanted to run this by you. Because you had said before the show, hey, if something strange is...
Yeah.
What do you think about playing... you probably can't because he won't want to do it, but could you play Iguodala at four?
Yeah. Yes.
You think you could?
I think you could, for sure.
Because...
I think you could against a guy like Giannis, even.
Yeah. The reason I say this, and we're going to get into it all day, I'm starting to think the Warriors miss Draymond's offense more than his defense. Because when Draymond is on the floor, the Warriors can skin the cat so many different ways. But when Draymond's not on the court, they're just a conventional basketball team. Now, they're great with Hall of Famers, but they fit more into the Curry's at one, Clay's at two, Durant's the three, Looney's the four, and Damian Jones is the five. It feels like, okay, that. But when Draymond plays and he's playing the four, but he's bringing the ball up and initiating, it changes everything. When Draymond's out on the floor, Curry brings the ball up more than he normally does. Well, that's a different function, or that's a different type of style. And I'm starting to really appreciate the fact that Draymond allows the Warriors to run, play in the half court, go down, you know, play any way they want. But I don't think they can do that without him.
Well, one Warriors player agrees with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're just used to playing a very certain style with Draymond. That's very free-flowing, and the ball is just zipping around. I thought JB did a good job stepping in there. He's it's only his second year, so same with DJ and Loon. These guys are very young, so you got to still have patience. And we'll all have off nights. We're all susceptible to it. I've had plenty. All those guys had a very tough job defending Giannis, too. Yeah, you see what the importance of Draymond, and if he's not there Saturday, we'll have to adjust, and I'm pretty sure we'll make that adjustment and play great.
Well, they're not going to have Draymond tonight, and now they're not going to have Curry tonight.
Not to get sidetracked, but you know why Klay Thompson is a great guy? Just for these three lines. I've had three words. I've had plenty.
He had a few right at the beginning of the season.
I mean, that's a guy he knew he was going to say some guys didn't play well, and just made sure that everybody knew he's taking it too, that he's stunk.
Absolutely.
Even though he hasn't, but I'm sure in Klay's mind, he's not
three
played,
for 16 nights.
Yeah, I'm sure Klay's not super excited about his year right now.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, but yeah, the part about Draymond, it's funny because he said we play a certain style, and I feel like the certain style with Draymond is any way it's feeling that night. You know, the Warriors don't. If you think, I was thinking about this. I think most great teams have an identity, and I think one of the things that makes the Warriors great is their identity or their style, it's, they don't really have one, believe it or not. I know people, what are you talking about, Steinmetz? They're a 3-point shoot. Okay. But they're a 3-point shooting team that gets up and down. Well, okay. But they do more than that. But, and they, well, you know what I mean? They defend. I mean, like they could almost go into a season and say, what kind of style we want to play this year? In other words, the Warriors could say, let's try to keep the game in the 90s. I mean, of course, that wouldn't be great.
Well, that
but
much
I still
offensive
think
talent,
win,
you probably wouldn't want to do that.
I know you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't, but you'd still win a ton of games.
Yeah.
So.
You probably could.
They can, you know, I mean, have the, oh, Memphis is back in the day. Memphis going to, you know, slow up the Warriors. Okay, they slowed up the Warriors, and the Warriors won 101-95.
Right.
And then here comes the Pelicans, and they beat them 130-125. Well, it's what it, pick it. Go ahead, you guys pick. You guys pick the style, and we'll play along.
What I always laugh at with the Warriors is the positionless basketball thing, because it's true. The Warriors do play positionless basketball, and they switch, and they have a bunch of guys that can you know, they'll play Iguodala, and they'll go small, and Draymond will play center. And you see stuff like that all over the NBA now.
Right.
But I always laugh about positionless basketball because you just look at their starting lineup on a night-in-night-out basis, and they have Stephen Curry's a point guard, and he's one of the best point guards of all time. Klay Thompson is like the prototypical, like he is the blueprint for a shooting guard. Kevin Durant is maybe the best small forward of all time. I know he plays some power forward. Draymond Green might be a little undersized, but he is a power forward.
No doubt.
There's no, so he is a prototypical power forward, especially in today's game, with maybe even a little bit more of a hint toward the older style,
right,
because now so many power forwards are shooters. And then they start Damian Jones, who is the prototypical body of a center. And oh, by the way, they're going to have DeMarcus Cousins. So that for all the positionless basketball, and I'm not saying that's wrong, they have the prototypical one, the prototypical yep. two, the prototypical three, the prototypical four, and the prototypical five.
I'd even almost go one step further and say, and kind of the prototypical sixth man in Iguodala.
Yes.
Missing the 20 points in 15 minutes kind of guy. But no, you're absolutely right. That the one thing that I'm having trouble processing, actually. Curry's banged up. Draymond, we start thinking about I keep forgetting. They're sitting with Cousins still. I'm dead serious.
I do it two or three times a week.
I honestly, like, you forget. They have Cousins.
I'm out there every day at practice and I forget until I see him.
I mean, that's the thing that it's scary to me.
It does make this season different from last season, because we were talking about it early on in the show. Curry's out, Draymond's out, and all of a sudden, what the talk shifts from what can this team be on the highest end to, oh boy, is it going to start to feel a little bit like last year, where maybe they don't win as much, and maybe because they don't have the goals, and because they don't have Curry and Draymond's energy for a week, let's say, does that change the effort level and the focus, essentially? Does that mean that it starts to look kind of like it did in March a little bit last
year? Well, the one thing we've done a lot in the last day or two, because Draymond's been out, but we've done it forever with the Warriors. If they're without Draymond, can they win a title? If they're with, you know, and can they win a title if Klay Thompson were hurt? Well, I've said the same thing for 3 years, essentially. If the Warriors lose any of those four players, Curry, Thompson, Draymond, or Durant, if they are playing in the playoffs without one of those guys, they're not going to win it. Just pick anyone. I don't care. I don't think they're a championship team. Well, I'm wrong, because I keep forgetting about Cousins. If the Warriors were to sustain a legitimate injury to, let's just say, it doesn't matter who, Clay. Curry would be a little bit of an exception. Clay gets hurt. They're still sitting with Cousins, so they can win a title this year, losing one of their big four players, assuming Cousins is some semblance of Boogie Cousins in March.
Yeah, I think it depends on who it is, just for balance.
Sure.
And you're going to say I'm crazy. You're going to say I'm crazy. And I know fans are going to say I'm crazy, but I actually think the one guy they could lose and still win it would be Durant.
Hmm.
With Cousins being in play.
All with Cousins.
With Cousins being in play.
Wow, that's... My initial thought was possible.
Curry, I don't think you can at all. Curry's just too much the straw that stirs the drink. If Curry's out, you got no shot.
I would agree with that. You
still need Curry.
I'm just thinking, does Quinn Cook, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and DeMarcus Cousins win a title? That's really what we're asking, right? Or Livingston and those, and I don't know. That's a good one. But I know what you're saying with Curry.
I also think this is where, and look, it's a long season, it's early, but I also think this is where the gap between the Warriors and everybody else becomes more important, because in the Western Conference, there isn't a team, and there could still be coming, but there isn't that team like Houston where you're like, boy, that team's a threat. And I watching the league right now, like Portland and Denver, I mean, they're the next best two teams in the Western Conference.
Right.
They're not winning more than one game against the Warriors if the Warriors are healthy in a series. Like to
I thought, I thought
to
you
me,
meant like a number of games winning during the regular season.
But this is I think the Warriors are going to get the one seed in the West.
Well, yeah, and that's what you're saying, right?
I think
Portland's not good enough to win 64 games.
I don't think they're good enough to win more than maybe 56 or 57 games.
I'm right with
so
you.
So to me, that's the bar for the one seed. The bar for the one seed this year isn't going to be in the West. 65, 66 games.
Unless it's the Warriors.
Right.
Right.
They're the only team that can hit that mark. And that's even if they have a few injuries.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
They won 58 last year, right?
Yeah. 58.
Yeah.
Boy, they stunk last year.
It's 50, but I think 58 this year gets you the one seed.
I do too.
Saying.
I would. That.
In the West.
No, I
know.
Again,
the East,
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Toronto's 11-1.
It's very possible. It's possible.
You may not have it in the finals if you're playing Team X or Y, but they've actually said they don't. That's less important for whatever reason.
I think you're right. I think 58 would do it, but I also think I would. I'm open-minded enough to think that, you know, like Denver in particular, rather than Portland. Denver could just be having one of those years where maybe they. I don't think they can.
Not,
I don't.
They lost at home to Brooklyn.
I know. Hey,
and,
you know. By the way,
Brooklyn doesn't stink.
You know who doesn't fit on Denver? Paul Millsap. They got him.
Well, there's another guy that isn't playing for him that doesn't fit either.
Who?
Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, right.
They got Isaiah Thomas.
You know what?
Back.
He's like DeMarcus Cousins. I didn't even remember he was on the team.
Yeah,
but he's not like DeMarcus Cousins.
No. I've been thinking about that from time to time with them. Like, boy, Isaiah Thomas is coming back. And they've got it kind of rolling. Really, up until last night, they've been really rolling. And I'm thinking, boy, he comes back. That's going to be tricky.
Especially because their team is those three guards.
Exactly.
Although, they're not, obviously, Will Barton's hurt now.
And Michael Malone got production out of him when he had him in Sacramento.
See, that's what I'm...
I'm a little more open-minded
hoping
that he can figure it out.
He knew what he was getting into. You would like to think that Mike Malone and Denver knew what they were getting into when they signed Isaiah Thomas.
I mean, you're built around those guards.
Right.
Right? And you have Isaiah Thomas who walks onto any team and thinks he's the best player.
Right.
Like, he would... If the Warriors signed Isaiah Thomas tomorrow, he would think he's the best player on the Warriors. Like, that's
what got him into the league.
That's what's swimming around
right.
in his head.
Right. Well, the only way it works with Isaiah Thomas is if you try to force him into a conventional sixth man role, come off, just, okay, be Lou Williams. But he wants more than Lou Williams. He wants 37 minutes of Lou Williams.
And he wants to finish the game, which alters who should be finishing the game.
Exactly.
And you know, he's always that guy that, you know, if you put him out there at the start of the fourth quarter, he's going to get 10 quick ones
right.
and almost force you to keep him out there
right.
for the end of the game. And it just, it's tricky. He's a tricky guy to coach. 888-957-9570. Let's keep it moving on the phone lines with Steven in Vallejo. Steven, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, good morning, guys. Stymie, you know, I completely agree with you with missing Draymond on offense. I think one of the underrated parts that he brings in the set game, in the half-court set, is his ability to space the floor. Because he'll pull a big man out of the middle and allow the off-ball running lanes to really open up. And that it really gets the ball moving around. And what we saw Milwaukee do is they were able to clog up the entire middle of the court. Nobody can move. Everybody's standing around on the outside. And there was just, there wasn't the ball movement that there is when you see Draymond, you know, running the ball from the top of the key.
I mean, you're absolutely positively 100% right. I always like to do the thing, John, where you close your eyes and you envision a player. When you envision Draymond Green with the ball on the perimeter, you remember the times when he has it, he's open, and you're saying, I'd shoot it now. You know what I mean? Shoot it now.
Yes.
But the reality is 90% of the time he does something quickly. And
whatever it is.
75% of the time it's pass it. So when Draymond Green gets the ball, it moves. That means it's moving because he doesn't hold it.
And
that in and of itself makes him different than Clay, Steph, or Durant.
And I think what he knows now is he doesn't have to shoot as many of those because Durant's in the fold.
No doubt.
He doesn't shoot as many of those.
No doubt.
Where it's just, hey, kick out to Draymond, and you think, well, that's going up.
Right.
And he's a little bit more patient, if you will, in when he decides he's going to take that shot.
I mean, you hear coaches say it all the time, and there's a lot to it. Offense really has an advantage if they can get the ball from one side of the court to the other. And that's what Draymond does. I know it sounds simple. We'll just pass it from one side to the other. But there's an art to it. And Draymond has it. And the Warriors have an ability of, when you think they're switching sides of the floor, somebody goes back door. And they lulled you into thinking. And Draymond is he's the chemist that kind of sees it all out top there. And they asked, Bogut did a little bit of the same thing. Well, guess what? Bogut was really skilled. Zaza did a little bit of the same thing. He could do it just functionally.
You know who else can do it?
DeMarcus Cousins can do it. You're darn right
he can.
Now, Damian Jones can't do it. Jordan Bell, I don't think, can do it. And I don't think JaVale McGee was very good at it. But that's, believe it or not, players have strengths and weaknesses, even in those minute areas of the game.
They can run everything they ran with Bogut with Cousins.
Oh, absolutely. Or Draymond. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
But it's just that, but just, that's another layer.
And how about the layer of Cousins can take a half hook shot in the low post when Bogut had no interest
in
it.
Or he could even throw it up and go get it.
Thank you.
He could just shoot it and get his own rebound, which he's really good at.
Right, right.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I think I do this every week on the show. We have the conversation, and Mark Medina was great, and we had Kolsky in here for a week, and Kalen Azubuike was great. And I think at some point during every show, we had the conversation about, boy, DeMarcus Cousins, and you forget about him. And then you just start thinking about all the different ways that he's going to help this team. Like, he is an unbelievably skilled player.
Incredible, really. I have no worries about Cousins coming back, or if the Warriors end up with those five great players on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that I don't think is going to be an issue is Cousins is mad because he only had 11. That's not going to be the issue.
There is one thing.
The issue is going to be the fans who are saying,
why isn't
Cousins averaging 20? Well, because Curry's averaging 30 and Durant's averaging 30.
No, you're right. You want Curry to have 30. You want Durant to have 30. So that's 60, right?
Right?
And you want the other three guys to have, well, you want Clay and Cousins to each have 20.
I would think so,
right?
Yeah.
So it's 30, 30, 20, 20. So that's 100.
Right.
Right there. You want Draymond to have 10.
I was thinking 12.
Yeah.
12 or so.
Okay, it's 110, let's just say. And then you want about 40 from your bench. So it's, 150, and then you give up about 105, 108. So, I think that...
You and I always get a kick out of this.
But you know what?
Who knows? Pretty soon in the league, teams are going to be averaging 130, 135.
You want 40 out of your bench because Iguodala's got to have 10, and Livingston's got to have 10,
right.
And McKinney's got to have 10.
Well, McKinney.
And Looney's got to have 10. So like that, and then if Quinn Cook plays, he's got to have 8.
That is one of my frustrations is... Geez, Curry has only had 17 and 22 in the last game. It's like, so what? They won both.
John Dickinson, Matt Stein, Mets. There is one possible concern. I heard this talked about this week with Cousins. I want to get into it coming back. 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we got some potential breaking news coming up.
Sure sounds that way.
And I got to tell you, watching Jimmy Butler play last night, it had to end.
JD, it's too late. It's like the Carole King song. It's too late, baby, now. They let it fester too long. They just let it fester too long. And we're now 13, 15 games into the season. I don't know. We're talking like Butler and Phillip Butler may be going to Philly. I don't know if we have any other names yet. We'll give them to you as soon as we find out. But Minnesota's season is toast, whether they trade Butler or not. Let me ask you this. Without seeing who they get back,
I'll bet they get Markel Fultz back.
Yeah, I bet they do too. My question's this. Well, assuming this trade happens, Timberwolves going to make the playoffs?
I'm not ready to rule them out until I see what they get back, but I think they're the one team, and we were kind of running through the standings earlier, and I was looking at all the teams that aren't playoff teams right now that I think could become playoff teams, because I think there's quite a few of them. I'm just looking at the teams that aren't playoff teams right now. Utah, I think they're a playoff team.
Sure.
The Lakers, I think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. Not a lock, but I think they're going to make it.
Okay.
Pelicans, I think they're going to make it.
You know what?
I think they're going to make it.
We'll see.
Davis misses 25 games,
okay.
20 games.
Okay.
The Rockets are not playing well, but they're slowly playing better. I mean, I know that's...
Sure.
They're 4-6.
I mean, you're right, JD.
But I think those teams...
Three teams can't make the playoffs.
Right.
And you've 11 got a, that are there.
And you've got, you know, the Clippers were close last year. The Clippers aren't great, but they're not terrible. Memphis is a team that has Conley and Gasol back, so they're different. I don't love them, but...
I'll tell you right now, JD, Minnesota. Okay, now you've taken Jimmy Butler. See, the reason I think Minnesota is up a creek, because, first of all, I really don't think Thibodeau's cut out to be an NBA coach right now. Obviously, he's a genius. I'm not talking about that. I just don't think it works anymore. And this Butler thing with Minnesota, it's not... I know they traded him, but it's not over.
And
the reason is...
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell me the names.
It's Shams Charania reporting a Philadelphia package to Minnesota includes Robert Covington.
Okay.
Wow. Dario Saric. Wow. And likely a draft pick. So not Markel Fultz, sides of exchange medicals. Philadelphia getting Jimmy Butler. That Covington and Saric are good players.
Well, they're pieces. They're pieces for that team.
And I'll tell you the one thing those two guys do, those guys can shoot the basketball. And Jimmy Butler, for all he does, you know, he can jack it up from 20 and be Clank City.
See, here's what I was going to say before you said the names, and now the names have me really thinking about it. I think what Jimmy Butler's done will have, it's having ramifications. And what I mean by this is Butler's let it be known that Karl Anthony Towns is soft, and that Andrew Wiggins, it's like basically, if you're an NBA player and you're really a champion, it's like, it's a man's game. It's a man's game. And Jimmy Butler basically saying, you cannot win it with these two guys. They're just not tough enough. They just don't have that thing. And I think he's right. I actually think he's right.
Yes.
And now I think the league now has been led on to that. And I don't see Karl Anthony Towns kind of using this and all of a sudden, wow, he's back to the 25, 14, and 6 or whatever.
Karl Anthony Towns, I think, is salvageable. Wiggins, I would have dealt, and I said this at the time, I would have traded Wiggins as soon as you got Jimmy Butler. Because to me, you need complementary pieces.
Right.
You need a guy like Saric or Covington to be your, instead of Wiggins.
And you know why, JD? Because everybody can't score 30.
Exactly. You need a guy that can score 20 on a couple of nights,
yep.
but you don't. He doesn't have to have the rock pounding it right out at the top of the key trying to get his, and that's what Wiggins does.
Sarge is getting. You know what? The reason I'm Sarge is tough. He's a tough player,
yes.
So he's going to give Minnesota some toughness.
And Covington can shoot the three, and he's long. You know,
pretty
he's
good
long.
Defender.
Yeah, good player.
I don't think. I just don't think Thibodeau can bring it all together.
I think Philadelphia probably gave up too much to where I don't think they can be a title contender with that move. They gave up two guys that can make shots for some tough, like, think about what they have now.
They gave away their only shooters on a bad shooting team.
They have Simmons, they have Butler now, and they have Embiid. And Embiid's terrific.
Right.
And you've got Redick is still there.
That's okay, whatever. Okay.
Like, I don't consider Redick the same. I'd rather have guys like Saric and Covington than a guy like Redick.
To me, they're not the same, but Redick's every bit as valuable in my mind as those
guys.
But I don't think
he's valuable on his own as the only guy that can knock down a shot.
Oh, I would agree with that.
You better have more than him as an option.
Right. No, yeah, right. I would agree. Who else they have? Fultz can't shoot? See, that's the problem. They just don't have shooters, and they gave away their only semblance of shooters other than Redick. But, you know, all that said, Jimmy Butler's pretty damn good when he's got it going on.
And I'll tell you, watching them play.
Is he a one? No. Is he a two? Ideally, he's a three, and he is there. I'm talking three in terms of a pecking order, not a small forward. So, you know, you look at, hey, it's all about how many can you put together? Warriors, Curry, they got four and maybe five with Cousins. Well, you know what? Philly's got three. Bottom line, three.
Philadelphia 8-5 as they make this trade. And then, the key component of this thing is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler going from Minnesota to Philadelphia. Saric and Covington among those going back the other way.
And
Minnesota did well in this. I gotta give Thibodeau credit. I mean, that's two good players.
I'm giving him credit
for the players he got. I'm not giving him credit for the way that it got to this point. Although, if you watched them play Sacramento last night, end of a 5-game road trip that they went 0-5 on, if you watched them play last night, you were beat over the head with, this cannot go any further.
This is
absolutely unacceptable.
I'm not giving them any credit for that, because that point was going to be reached the minute you thought that you could just bring this guy back. And that's what I'm saying. Oh, they're coming off an 0-5. Well, no kidding they're coming off an 0-5 trip. No kidding they started 4-10. And you're right. The funny thing is what did it take, JD? It took them to get, as you said, hit over the head. Could you imagine being a Timberwolves fan and watching that game last night?
And Jimmy Butler was bad, too, last night. He was kind of going through the motions. You know, there was a game maybe about 15 years ago where Kobe Bryant was playing in Sacramento. It was a nationally televised game, and this was the year where they were having him and Shaq were having the feud. I think it was his last year where they were all together. And Kobe Bryant basically was so ticked off at what was going on with the Lakers that Kobe Bryant made a point to not shoot the basketball one time for the entire first half of the game.
Right.
Like, he literally would dribble, he would pass, he would get the ball out in scoring positions out on the wing, and he would get it, and he would swing it to the other side.
Yeah.
Like, and everybody's watching the game like, that was Kobe Bryant doing. Is he just, like, something's going on there?
Of course.
And then after the game, he basically was like, yeah, it came out. He was being a bleep.
Right. Yeah. Well,
and Jimmy Butler, it looked that way a little bit last night in watching that game. Like, he just, you know, because Karl Anthony Towns was getting his, and I think he had 29 in the first half, Karl Anthony Towns did. And it just looked like Jimmy was just, yeah, I'm just out here cruising, playing.
Hey, and almost like, go ahead and get your 40, Carl. This is what it's all about. This is why I can't stand you, because you score 40 points, but you can't get it done down the stretch of a game when it's important.
And
I know deep down you're soft.
And Jimmy Butler played, you know, there was a report earlier in the day that they were going to limit his minutes to 32. He played 41 last night.
Jimmy Butler
played 41 after the report came out that they had all agreed that he was only going to play 32. So, he was kind of, I think, ticked off.
Right.
So, Thibodeau played him, 10 more minutes because, I mean, I don't know why. They were trying to win the game down the stretch, I guess. They wound up losing by 10. But it was just, Steve Kerr says mindless.
Right.
I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves would make you want to just put your fist through a glass window watching them play.
And this is the part about their season that I get to. I mean, I don't expect them to just turn it around. Because, first of all, they did lose a pretty good player in Jimmy Butler. He's now gone. And here, and they're getting role players. So we can talk all day about what kind of a star Jimmy Butler is in the NBA. But the bottom line is he's some kind of star that they've given up for a couple role players. I think Sarge is a touch more than a role player, but nevertheless, let's see what happens, because conventional wisdom is you need stars. And the Timberwolves just gave one up for two players who at least are non-stars. Let's put it that way.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. If you want to react to this trade as it pertains to the Warriors, too, because...
That's exactly what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, my thought is, look, Philadelphia is a team that could be in the mix to be a finals opponent for the Warriors come June. Boston may be the favorite.
Right.
Toronto's playing exceptional basketball. Milwaukee is on the come and having maybe one of those special seasons where they've arrived
right.
with Budenholzer as the coach. So, but Philadelphia is kind of that fourth team that's in the conversation. And I guess my question is, are they a tougher matchup
now
for the Warriors than they would be with Covington and Saric? And I'm with you. I say no.
No. I mean, how does this relate to the Warriors? My first thought is, well, the Rockets aren't getting Jimmy Butler. So that's good for the Warriors. And Minnesota, I was thinking, what could Minnesota have gotten back where the Warriors or Warrior fans or you or me would be like, huh, Warriors, man, this is, woo, Minnesota now. There are very few players that they would have been able to, I think, that would have been able to make you say, wow, Minnesota just, how, I don't think there was a trade out there where had they traded Jimmy Butler for another guy, you'd be like, Timberwolves got better. They got better.
Yeah.
Because he's a hell of a player.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. This is Warriors This Week with John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz. We are with you every Saturday here on 95.7 The Game, and we are with you until 1 o'clock. We're reacting to the breaking NBA news out of the league this morning, which is Jimmy Butler is on the move from Minnesota to Philadelphia. Robert Covington, Dario Saric, the headliners going back the other way from Philadelphia to Minnesota. How does this affect the Timberwolves in the Western Conference? How does this affect the 76ers as a possible finals opponent for the Warriors? And yeah, now that Jimmy Butler's in Philadelphia, that ends the possibility that Jimmy Butler goes to a team that's going to be in direct competition for the Warriors throughout the
exactly.
regular season and playoffs.
Exactly.
And I'm, until the end.
Right. And I'm doing kind of what you're doing. I'm looking at the entire Western Conference. And if you start looking at those teams and going down the list and start saying you think they'll make the playoffs, you actually...
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.